the unknown.
Mystery.
Space.
Science.
Have fun.
Adventure.
Suspense.
Fantasy.
Nameless, unreasoning, unjustified terror.
Welcome to Journey number 62 of the Journey Into podcast, featuring Lieutenant Hornblower in Court of Inquiry. That's right, it's time once again to journey out onto the high seas with Lieutenant Hornblower and the rest of the crew of the HMS Renown. You may remember from our last journeys with them that they were successful in taking a Spanish fort on the island of Haiti, and after preventing some Spanish privateers from trying to waylay the Renown as it came into port, using the very cannons from the fort by which they were besieged themselves. After this, Horatio Hornblower is able to begin preliminary negotiations with Colonel Ortega regarding the return of Spanish prisoners. He also advised Lieutenant Buckland during the surrender negotiations. And then, upon fearing attempted escape from the Savannah anchorage, Horatio devised a plan to place one of the ship's guns on the peninsula overlooking the bay, and thus being able to prevent any attempts at escape. So now what awaits our crew? How will final negotiations go with the Spaniards? And what dangers might lie on the island itself? And of course, if all goes well and they return to friendly shores, what awaits them at the Court of Inquiry regarding Captain Sawyer and his relief of command? Well, the answer to those questions lie ahead. So now, won't you come with me and let's journey into adventure with Horatio Hornblower.
No need for that. I know exactly what he'll tell you. Lies. He was no different from any other officer in the wardroom. They were all disloyal. I tried to run the ship properly with the book, but they fought me at every turn. If the crew wanted to walk around with their shirt tails hanging out, that's all right. Let them. Take the tow line. Defective equipment. No more, no less. But they encouraged the crew to go around scoffing at me and spreading wild rumors about steaming in circles and then old Yellowstain. I was to blame for Lieutenant Merrick's incompetence and poor seamanship. Lieutenant Merrick was the perfect officer, but not Captain Queeg. Ah, but the strawberries. That's where I had them. They laughed at me and made jokes. But I proved beyond the shadow of a doubt and with geometric logic that a duplicate key to the wardrobe icebox did exist. And I'd have produced that key if they hadn't pulled the cane out of action. I know now they were only trying to protect some fellow officer and...
Were you aware at any time of the use of alcohol among your crew?
Yes, I was.
And you didn't do anything about it?
No, I did not.
Had you ever seen a white squall before this incident?
No.
And what makes you so sure it was one?
I can't be sure.
You really felt that your crew was up to the conditions?
We had come 12,000 miles together through every kind of seas imaginable.
Except a white squall. Now, with all due respect, Captain, they're only boys.
They are much more than that, sir.
We present Nigel Anthony in The Hornblower Story,
adapted from four of the C.S. Forrester novels by Val Gielgud, with Terence Skelton as William Bush. Part 4 from Lieutenant Hornblower, Court of Inquiry.
I had little sleep during the night following First Lieutenant Buckland's acceptance of my scheme for the bombardment of the Savannah anchorage. This would be by means of one of the Renown's guns, transported to the crest of the peninsula. There was the necessary equipment to consider: traveling blocks, slings, a hoist to bear a long 9-pounder, the thwarts of the boats to be strengthened to withstand the weight. There were the orders to be given. I was red-eyed and weary when I faced Buckland and Bush early the next morning aboard the Renown.
You seem to have something on your mind, Mr. Hornblower. May we share it?
That Spaniard will be back at the port by 2 bells in the forenoon, sir, to hear if you've accepted his terms for the capitulation.
Yes. Well?
Well, if we can tell him that you reject his terms absolutely, if you can show him the gun mounted and positioned and make it plain we'll open fire if they don't give in without any conditions and within an hour, well then, I fancy he'll be more amenable, sir.
That's true, Mr. Buckland.
Thank you, Mr. Bush. Pray go on, Mr. Hornblower.
And it mightn't be so easy, sir, if all we can tell him is that we're going to hoist a gun up in order to command the anchorage. He might think of a way out, or the weather might turn dirty on us. But if he is convinced that you'll stand no nonsense...
That's the way to treat him.
You mean get the work in hand now?
We've enough time if we do, sir. We could have the launches hoisted out and the guns swayed down into one of them straight away. I've prepared slings and cables and a sort of carrying cradle and towed off the hands required.
Damn it! The ship is short-handed already, Mr. Hornblower. I shall have to turn up both watches.
That won't hurt him.
Speak for yourself, Mr. Bush. And who is to go in command? Tell me that. He must be a responsible officer and a good seaman.
I was assuming, sir, that I might.
No. I want you to talk to the Spaniards. You speak their lingo. You'll go ashore, Mr. Hornblower. Take command of the fort. Wait for the Don to arrive. And you will take care not to exceed your instructions.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Bush will command the party with the gun. Take Mr. Wellard with you, Mr. Bush. Carry on then, Mr. Hornblower, with no waste of time, if you please.
Aye, aye, sir.
I can trust you, Mr. Hornblower.
I will do my best, sir.
Any questions, Mr. Bush?
I don't think so, sir. It seems that Mr. Hornblower's had all the preparations put in hand.
I don't understand him. Is he sickening, or just sulky, or what?
Tired, I should judge, sir. He must have been up most of the night. He's a good officer.
Yes. Well, I hope so. I certainly hope he lives up to that recommendation, Mr. Bush.
You're firing too far over. Put the coins in and reduce elevation. Then try again.
Aye, aye, sir. Together now. Lift. Coins in. Down a mate. Right. Steady, steady. Fire!
Oh, what the hell?
Vent plug's blown out, sir. You can see the hole in the breech, sir.
Damn it to hell.
Yes, sir.
Do you have a new vent fitting?
Yes, Mr. Bush.
Lucky for you. Get it fitted, for God's sake, and don't waste any more time.
Aye, aye, sir. I'll have to file it down to size, sir, then set it in place.
Just and... start work and stop talking. Mr. Wellard.
Right, sir.
Come here.
Get over to the fort and tell Mr. Hornblower what has happened. It'll be an hour before we can open fire again. Tell him I'll fire 3 shots when the gun is ready, and ask him to acknowledge by lowering and raising his flag.
Very good, sir.
Don't make your report in anyone else's hearing, especially the Spaniards, if their envoys arrived. Unless you want to be very unkind to that backside of yours.
Aye, aye, sir.
Then run, damn you, run.
Aye, aye, sir.
Longer with that vent fitting.
Nearly done, sir.
Nearly? It's been more than an hour.
2 rounds with 1/3 charges might do it, sir.
Might? I've promised Mr. Hornblower 3 shots, and I want full charges.
Aye, aye, sir. Just a few minutes more, sir.
Use the wad hook. Don't stand there looking at it sideways like a terrier at a rat hole.
Mr. Bush, please. Mr. Bush, sir.
What the devil are you doing back here, Mr. Wellard?
Mr. Hornblower's respects, sir.
Damn his respects.
Yes, sir. But please, will you not reopen fire, Mr. Bush?
Not?
No, sir, if you please.
And why not, pray?
The Spaniards, they've agreed to capitulation, sir.
Have they now? And the ships in the anchorage?
Oh, they'll be our prizes, sir.
Then we've done it. Men, we've done it, thanks to you.
And thanks to Mr. Hornblower, I should say, sir.
You are quite correct, Mr. Wellard. Prizes. That means pounds in all our pockets. Mr. Buckland should be pleased. Let Mr. Hornblower know we shall be rejoining renown as soon as may be. And Mr. Wellard, there is no need to run this time.
Keep your eye on the fort, Mr. Bush. Their boat's been put off some time.
It's well clear, sir.
I said, watch the fort. If the demolition party have done their work and put a slow match to all that powder... Aye, they've done it right enough. Well, what do you see?
It looks to me as if the damage is complete, Mr. Buckland. Ramparts, bastions, the tower, yes, even the platform. All appear to be in ruins.
Let me see. Yes. Satisfactory. We'll get underway as soon as Mr. Hornblower's boat is alongside and hoisted in.
Aye, aye, sir.
See that all is secure below.
Yes, sir. I'm a little concerned about the prisoners we brought aboard, sir.
Why? It's less than a week's run to Kingston.
50-odd women and children, sir, and nearly 400 soldiers. Close quarters in this heat.
Would you have preferred me to give up the prizes, Mr. Bush, and send them to Cuba?
Not I, sir. But the women
aboard...
It will
be your business to see that we have no trouble with them, Mr. Bush.
There's more stench down there already than I care for, sir. They'll have to take air on deck in batches. We've hardly enough water for the crew, and little enough food to spare for them, but yams.
It is for you to make the necessary arrangements, Mr. Bush. If you're in doubt, consult Mr. Hornblower when he comes aboard. He seems to have an answer for everything.
Very good, sir.
Bush did, in fact, consult me when I came aboard Renown, but we were faced with problems practically insoluble. The Spanish children knew no discipline whatsoever, and ran shrieking all over the ship. The officers complained of everything. Separation from their wives, the food, their cramped quarters. First Lieutenant Buckland wisely kept to his cabin. I could only assume that he was still brooding over the result of the inquiry, bound to be held at Kingston, concerning the deprivation of Captain Sawyer of his command and his replacement by Buckland. Only the weather held fair.
So you are leaving us, Mr. Hornblower.
Mr. Buckland's instructions, Mr. Bush. I'm to take charge of convoying the prizes.
I shall miss you.
I'll not be so far away. My station's no more than a mile on your port bow. And it's a fine night, Mr. Bush. A canopy of stars.
Quite a poet.
I have eyes in my head.
The moment I could almost wish I hadn't.
What's worrying you in particular?
Most things aboard Renown. Too many Spaniards. Those damn children. The crew's getting restive. No help from Buckland. And there's always Sawyer.
What about Sawyer? Still safely in his straitjacket, isn't he?
It's the thought of him. Can't get him out of my mind. Helpless, slobbering. Poor devil. And to an extent, we were responsible.
We could do no less. The man was mad.
A cargo of 400 prisoners and a lunatic. Yes, I envy you.
Yes, I expect I shall find problems of my own with the convoy, Mr. Bush.
And there'll be more problems waiting for us all at Kingston, if I'm not mistaken. Good luck, Mr. Hornblower.
Good night, Mr. Bush.
Just what happened later that night aboard Renown, I was only to learn later from Bush. The bare facts as they emerged were that some of the ship's company had risked the safety of Renown for lust. That some of the women had sold themselves to guards who proved complicit. Bush was awakened by the yelling of a torrent of prisoners.
who somehow had got weapons, pouring up from below to overwhelm the sentries. Seamen and marines were demoralized, disarmed, and herded like sheep against the bulkheads. The quartermaster at the wheel was overwhelmed, and the ship wallowed in the trough of the waves, with her canvas thundering and flapping overhead. Wounded and bleeding, trying desperately to rally his men, Bush could think only of the hideous picture of an English ship of the line captured and carried off to some Cuban port. The disgrace of it almost choked him while he fought. But the Spaniards had the upper hand and shouted to him to surrender. It was sheer luck that from the deck of my convoying ship, I saw through my telescope that something was amiss with Renown, that she was off course, that the morning light revealed fighting aboard. There was only one thing to do. I collected 30 seamen and as many marines from the convoy prize crews and closed Renown as fast as I could. I was just in time. I will not recount the details of the ferocious, bloody battle that ensued, but it was a fight as wild and as irregular as the one which had preceded it. But we retook the ship. Now the main deck was clear, save for the corpses that lay heaped upon it. And for a moment, there was Bush amongst them. But as I leapt forward and held his head cradled in my arm, so his eyelids flickered, and I thought a faint smile played across his face.
Who is it?
Hornblower. May I come in?
If you please. Good to see you, Hornblower.
How do you feel, sir?
Sewn together like a crazy quilt, if you must know. Where are we?
Rounding Port Royal Point. Ah! The Admiral's flag is flying. They're about to fire the salute. There they go.
As weak as a kitten. Our things aboard.
All quiet. I was lucky, Mr. Bush. You'd managed to keep the Don so busy that they never noticed my men till we were aboard. A good many of them had got at liquor, too. They cursed a lot and the women screeched like the devil. But there wasn't much fight in them against discipline. My marines... I should say, Whiting's marines did well.
Buckland?
Taken in his cabin and tied up in his bedding.
That's not going to sound too well.
No. And Sawyer's out of his misery.
Dead?
The Spaniards broke into his cabin and cut his throat.
Poor devil. Yet, I'm not sure that I'd rather be in his shoes than Buckland's, in the circumstances.
Buckland's gig's just being lowered. He's going to make his report to the Admiral.
I wonder if he'll include that he was taken in his bed.
Mr. Bush?
Come in, if you please, sir.
Glad to see you talking again, Mr. Bush.
Thank you, Mr. Buckland.
Your gig's being lowered, sir. The prizes are anchoring astern.
I wish to God I was dead. But thank you, Mr. Hornblower. I'm glad of this word with you before I go to make my report.
Yes, sir?
Tell me, this is probably the last chance I'll have of asking you. How did Captain Sawyer come to fall down that hatchway?
I fear I really can't say, sir.
Oh, come, Mr. Hornblower. I've given you all the praise I can in this report. Full credit for your behaviour in San Domingo and for recovering Renown when the prisoners rose. Every credit...
There is nothing further I can tell you, sir. Nothing you don't already know.
But what am I going to say when they start asking me about it?
The truth, sir. The captain was found under the hatchway, and nothing could establish any indication that he fell other than by accident.
I wish I knew.
I assure you, sir, that you know as much as will ever be known. But of one theory I'm certain. The Admiral will be very pleased that we wiped out those dons at Samana. He must have been badly worried over his convoys in the Mona Passage and their privateers. And then, haven't we brought in three prizes? No. He'll get his 1/8 of their value. He can hardly look sideways at that, sir.
No. No, of course. I had better be going.
Take that grin off your face, Hornblower. There's nothing to laugh at.
You're quite right, Mr. Bush. There isn't. Let me tuck in your sheet. Anything else I can do?
Stop fussing.
Oh, feverish. Now try this lemonade. It's cooling and fresh. We've had supplies alongside.
Thank you.
I've arranged with Mr. Clyde, the surgeon, for you to go ashore to the Naval Hospital. He'll be more comfortable there.
Confound you. I don't want to leave the ship.
Well, really, Mr. Bush, I should have thought that you, of all people, would have learned in the service that it's the rule always to have to do what you don't want to do.
Damn you to hell, Hornblower.
We'll have your gear packed and sent after you ashore.
Thank you.
Best of luck, sir. See you soon.
There you are, Mr. Hornblower, sir. A captain's coming aboard, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Willard.
You are Mr. Hornblower, at present the senior lieutenant aboard this ship.
Lieutenant Horatio Hornblower, at your service, sir.
My name is Cogshill. Orders to me from Sir Richard Lambert, Vice Admiral of the Blue, Knight of the Bath, commanding His Majesty's ships and vessels on the Jamaica Station. To Captain James Edward Cogshill of His Majesty's ship Buckler, you are hereby requested and required to repair immediately on board His Majesty's ship Renown, now lying in Port Royal Bay, and to take command pro tempore of the aforesaid ship Renown.
Welcome on board, sir.
This is Mr. Sankey, the surgeon of the Naval Hospital ashore.
Happy to see you, Mr. Sankey.
We'll take care of your Mr. Bush, Mr. Hornblower.
Thank you.
Well, I look forward to our better acquaintance, Mr. Hornblower.
Sir.
You know Captain Cogshill, Mr. Hornblower?
No.
Promotion to a ship of the line from a 28-gun frigate is quite a step for our friend James Edward Cogshill. I knew he was a favourite of the Admiral's, but he wasted no time.
Mr. Sankey,
I know. Improper reflections concerning a superior officer. This is between the two of us, Mr. Hornblower.
Yes.
Lucky for Cogshill, his ship was here at this moment. Plenty of promotion in the Admiral's gift just now. Which lieutenant on the station will be made commander? Any ideas, Mr. Hornblower?
None.
Of course, you have not been in these waters previously.
No.
Personally, I have no doubt. Dutton, first lieutenant of the flagship, which means vacancies for three lieutenants. The Admiral will be able to gladden the hearts of three of his friends by promoting their sons from midshipmen. Assuming, Mr. Hornblower, that the Admiral has as many as three friends.
I'm not sure that I care to understand what you mean, Mr. Sankey.
As you please. The result of the Court of Inquiry should be interesting. Most interesting.
The Court of Inquiry was not nearly as awe-inspiring as a court-martial. There was no gun fired, no flag hoisted. The court sat in the great cabin of Renown. It was swelteringly hot. The captains who constituted the board wore their everyday uniforms. Witnesses were not required to give evidence under oath.
Pray take a seat, Mr. Bush. I understand you are still weak from your wounds.
Thank you, sir.
I have here your logbook and the report you prepared at the request of Mr. Buckland. You confirm they are as stated?
Yes, sir.
They do you credit, Mr. Bush. It appears that you stormed this fort at Samana, although it was constructed with a ditch, parapets and ramparts in regular style, and defended by a garrison armed with 24-pounder guns.
We took them by surprise, sir.
It is that which is to your credit, Mr. Bush.
But Mr. Hornblower's credit, sir. The plan was his.
So you say very handsomely in your report. But I may say that in the opinion of this court, the circumstances of the attack on Samana and the subsequent capitulation of the Spaniards are in accordance with the best traditions of the service.
Indeed. Thank you, sir.
Now we come to the next matter. The attempt by the Spanish prisoners to retake Renown. At this time, you were acting as first lieutenant of the ship, Mr. Bush.
I was, sir.
And under Mr. Buckland, You were responsible for guarding and feeding the prisoners?
Yes, sir.
There were 50 or so women, many of them wives of the prisoners, also under guard.
Yes, sir. It was difficult to supervise them as closely as the men.
Yeah, quite so. And you went your rounds after Pipedown?
Yes, sir.
And then you heard a disturbance?
Yes, sir. It all happened...
I believe you were found lying unconscious from wounds after the action.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, thank you. Now, all this time, Captain Sawyer was confined to his cabin until he was murdered by one of the prisoners.
That is so, sir.
Very well. I don't expect any of you gentlemen wish to ask Mr. Bush any more questions. Call Lieutenant Hornblower.
The responsibility and the plan of attack at Samana belong to Mr. Buckland, sir.
Well, we will not press you further on that subject, Mr. Hornblower. I fancy we all understand. Now, this business of the recapture of renown. What first attracted your attention?
I was on deck at dawn, sir. I noticed that Renan was off course. Through a telescope, I thought I saw fighting on her decks. Then I heard a distant musket shot and saw her come up into the wind. I felt sure something was wrong, sir.
You were not afraid of losing the prizes in your charge?
Better to lose the prizes than Renan, sir. Besides...
Well?
I had every sheet and halyard cut in the prizes before we left them, sir. Before they could reeve new ones, it would be a simple matter to recapture them.
You seem to have thought of everything, Mr. Hornblower. And you made a very prompt counterattack on Renown. But it did not occur to you, you might have failed.
In that case, sir, no harm was done, except the disabling of the prizes. If, as I feared, the ship had fallen into the hands of the prisoners aboard her, it was essential that the attack should be made before any regular defense could be organized.
Thank you, Mr. Hornblower. The court will now confer... to consider its findings.
Well, what do you think?
I think we got off lightly, Mr. Bush.
We didn't hear Buckland's evidence. He looked pretty unhappy afterwards.
You or I would have been the same in his place.
I suppose so. It seems to me they don't want to press the business of Sawyer's insanity too hard.
And if any of the court are friends of his family, they'll be thinking of his wife and children.
Maybe.
Besides, Captain Whiting and Smith were both killed when the prisoners rose. Other possible witnesses are still in hospital.
That's true. All the same, I...
Silence, if you please. It is the opinion of this court that strict inquiry should be made among the Spanish prisoners to determine which of them it was who murdered Captain Sawyer, and that the murderer, if still alive, should be brought to justice. As the result of our examination of such officers of His Majesty's ship Renown as have been available to us, it is our opinion that no further action is necessary. Thank you, gentlemen. That will be all.
No court-martial to follow at any rate.
That's a relief.
To Buckland, you mean?
That to us all. We none of us have cared to see him court-martialed.
It'll not make so much difference, Mr. Hornblower. People will forget the success of Zamana and only remember that he was captured by escaped prisoners in his bed. Services like that. He'd be a lieutenant for all the rest of his career.
Pretty hard, Mr. Bush.
Way of the world.
Ah, gentlemen. I am to dine with Captain Coghill in his cabin. He would be happy if the lieutenants would join him also.
With pleasure.
Thank you, sir.
We'll have two new lieutenants soon, Mr. Hornblower. You'll cease to be the junior.
I shan't be sorry for that, sir.
No. Then I suggest it is time for us to go along.
Perhaps you will lead the way, sir.
There were flowers in the captain's cabin. The windows were wide open, and a wind scoop brought in what little air was moving. Captain Coghill was clearly at pains to make a favorable impression in his new command.
There is a land crab salad before you, Mr. Hornblower. A coconut-fed land crab. Some prefer it to dairy-fed pork. Also, I understand.
Thank you, sir.
Steward!
Sir?
Bring that saddle of fresh lamb.
Aye, aye, sir.
Sheep do badly in these West Indian islands, but I hope you will perhaps try it. It should be fit to eat. Mr. Buckland, will you carve?
With pleasure, sir.
And you see, gentlemen, I still have some real potatoes left. One grows weary of yams. Mr. Hornblower, will you take wine with me?
Oh, great pleasure, sir.
And you, Mr. Bush? Well, to your speedy and complete recovery.
Thank you, sir.
Come in. Well?
I'm sent by the Admiral, sir.
Oh, what's your message?
The Admiral's compliments, sir, and he'd like Mr. Hornblower's presence on board the flagship as soon as it's convenient, sir.
And dinner not halfway finished. Well, too bad, Mr. Hornblower.
Well, I better leave if I may, sir. May I have a boat, Mr. Buckland?
Pardon me, sir. The Admiral said that the boat that brought me would serve to convey Mr. Hornblower to the flagship.
Oh, well, that would seem to settle it, Mr. Buckland. You better go, Mr. Hornblower. We'll save some fresh lamb against your return.
Thank you, sir.
Wonder what the Admiral wants with Mr. Hornblower. Yes. Well, no doubt we'll know in time. The wine's beside you, Mr. Buckland. Don't let it stagnate.
By no means, sir. I'll drink along with you, sir.
And then, gentlemen, may bony grow bonier than ever. Oh, good. Hey, come in. Ah, come in, Mr. Hornblower. Take your old place.
Yeah.
Brandy for heroes, Mr. Hornblower.
Victorious war, oceans of gore, prizes galore, and beauty assured.
Oh, well said, Mr. Bush. Come on, drink there, Mr. Hornblower. We've a start of you.
Mr. Buckland? Your health.
Thank you.
I am forgetting. You've come back from the Admiral, Mr. Hornblower.
Yes, sir.
All well.
But yes, sir. He's made me commander into retribution.
Then that's our new toast. To our new commander.
Good old Hornblower.
Damn you, Mr. Hornblower. Damn you to hell. Easy there, Mr. Buckland. Now let's fill the glasses. Now, gentlemen, our country, noble old England, queen of the waves.
And to Hornblower especially.
Noble old England, queen of the waves.
In part 4 of Lieutenant Hornblower, you heard Nigel Anthony in the title role and as the narrator, with Terence Skelton as William Bush. First Lieutenant Buckland was played by David Peart, Wellard, Mark Hudson, Captain Cogshill, James Tomlinson, President of the Court of Inquiry by John Blaine, Mr. Sankey, Ron Davies, and a gunner, Gordon Astley. The Hornblower story is directed in Manchester by Trevor Hill, assisted by Christopher Hayton Webb.
Ah, so it's Commander Hornblower now. Oh, I remember Horatio when he was just a young midshipman, just arriving on the HMS Justinian and getting seasick. Well, things change. And I think next time we check in on Horatio Hornblower, we'll see that he's definitely going to see some changes in his life. Ones that will make it definitely more complicated. But that's a tale for another time. As for me, I think I'm going to turn in for the evening and hit the rack. But never fear, we'll be back soon with another story, and I hope you'll return with us then. In the meantime, feel free to join us at the forums at journeyinto.freeforums.org or look us up on Facebook under Journey Into Podcast. Or if you'd like to send me an email, you can send that to journeyintopodcast@gmail.com. And if you'd like to go to the blog site, which is journeyintopodcast.blogspot.com, feel free to go there and check out the donate options that I have posted there. Any contribution you can make would be appreciated. But until next week, be careful out there and journey on.
This is Nicole Villacrez from the Drama Pod, and I'm here to tell you that the Journey Into podcast is produced under a Creative Commons Attribution, non-commercial, no derivatives license. This means that while you cannot change it or sell it, you are encouraged to share it however and with whomever you would like. The theme music for the podcast has been provided by Man in Space.